Well, it's my pleasure to be here with you this morning. I'm going to find one of these things that doesn't have stuff on it, like this one. And I'll introduce my own self because I don't think there's anyone else here to introduce me. But maybe most of you already know who I am and the ministry that we work with. But for those that are new or that don't know who I am, I'll introduce myself. My name is Michael McComb. I am the president of an organization called 10 Talents International. That sounds impressive, but really it's not. when you're the only one involved, then you know I'm not the only one involved by any means. My wife and I started an organization called 10 Talents International, and it's a missions organization. We specifically work with street children in the country of Rwanda, which is in Central Africa. And again, most of you know that because this is our home church. And we call Heritage Church a home, have called Heritage Church our home since Heritage Church existed. Before that, we called Bethel Church our home. Pastor Dav has been my best friend for 20 years or so. And so when we were, you know, he was still in high school, actually, because I'm a little bit older than him. So I keep, at least for now, I keep reminding him of that. But now I'm starting to see that, wait a minute, being older is not that great. So I think pretty soon I'm going to just forget about that part and just say that we've been friends for a long time. So anyway, Pastor Dav has been my best friend for a long time. He was my best man at our wedding, and I was in his wedding. He had to have his older brother be his best man, just to keep peace in the family, of course. So. I love this church. I love this city. I certainly love our pastors, Jim and Gloria Davenport, our associate pastors. They took me into their home when I didn't have a place. I wasn't technically homeless, but if they wouldn't have brought me in, might have been. So I greatly appreciated their love and support throughout the years as well. So back to 10 Talents International, my wife and I, we have the privilege and honor of leading this organization called 10 Talents International. We have a child sponsorship program and some of you sponsor children. Some of you even support us personally. The church, Heritage Church, has given generously in the past. As a matter of fact, when Bethel Church and Hazeldale Assembly merged and became Heritage Church, Bethel Church had sold a building, and this church gave 10 Talents International a tithe, actually a little bit more than a tithe, from the sale of that building. And so you as a congregation gave to us at that time something close to $100,000 at that time. And so I really appreciate that, of course, and just the prayers that you guys have offered up for us. And I'm here today as a missions, one of your missionaries, but also as one of you. We love this church, and this is our home church. I've been gone for the last 3 weeks, so if you're new within the last 3 weeks, you've probably never seen my face. And hopefully that will not be the case hopefully we'll get to see each other at least every week for the next month or two while we're still here in the country. I would like to share with you what I've been doing the last 3 weeks and then share with you about what we hope to do in the future. So I guess I'm just going to go right into that, and I'm sure I'm forgetting to do something. But since my wife isn't here this morning, she'll be here a little later. I don't have to introduce her. So I'll just start in. How's that? Okay. So for the last 3 weeks, I was in Rwanda, I guess, for the last 3 weeks. I got back in Wednesday night late, like at 9 o'clock. That's late for me. Now that I'm 40, that's right. It's now. Oh, at 9:40. I thought you were making fun of my age. Yeah. Yeah. I just turned 40 a little while ago, so, you know, I'm a little sensitive. Yeah. So yes, late on Wednesday night, again, because I can't say that it's late because I'm old. It's just because I've always gone to bed at by 9 o'clock was my bedtime. Now that I'm a little older, I can stay up till 10. But anyway, it was late. It was late for me. Wednesday night, I arrived. But before that, I was in Rwanda, Central Africa, ministering or working with these kids that we have been called by God to work with and to help. In the country of Rwanda, now again, many of you guys have heard a lot of this stuff. I will not go over all of the details of how God called me personally into this ministry, but I will share with you some details, at least the details that I think might be helpful for you to understand what we're doing now. The last 3 weeks, I was in Rwanda ministering to these boys, these kids. In the country of Rwanda, there is an estimated 7,000 street kids that are orphans or at least one of their parents has been killed. Technically, you're an orphan if one of your parents is dead. Many of the children have both of their parents dead. We have some children that we work with that have absolutely no living relative. They don't know a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, nobody. One of the boys in our home, as a matter of fact, is in that situation. His name is Celestine, and he, when we found him, had a backpack on his back. Everything that was him was in that backpack. And we took him into the home, and he's doing well now. Of course, now he does have a family because you and I are his family. And he has a family, of course, because he has a father, a heavenly father. And so that's what we do. We identify these children that are in vulnerable situations. We take them into our home, and then we love on them. We encourage them. We bless them. We pray over them. We teach them to pray for themselves. And then we also look for families to place them back into. So that's kind of our plan in a nutshell. We also have child sponsorship programs so that some of the children that are at risk of being on the street all the time, if you are caught on the street, whether you're a child, a single mother, if you are caught on the street selling items or begging or stealing, they will take you to jail. And it's not just like, you know, a jail you would have here. It is what the police call it a correction, or what would it be called? What do they call it? It's like a facility where they rehabilitate you, okay? So that's what they call it. The kids call it prison, and I think it's closer to prison than it is to anything else. We have one of our boys in this home. His name is Benjamin, and many of you have been praying for Benjamin, and I greatly appreciate that. Benjamin, when he came into our home, he was literally a week or 2 weeks away from dying because he was in one of these prisons, one of these centers, government facilities, and he was not even able to walk himself. He had to be helped to walk. We brought him into our home. He was nourished. We began to feed him, and he got regular sleep, and he was in a safe place. And we nourished him back to health, but he would then sometimes get sick again. And we couldn't figure out what the problem was. Seemed like every time I was there, he was well. And then I would leave and they'd say, oh, he's sick again. And I'm like, what in the world? What's going on? You know, it wasn't anything to do with me, I hope. I wasn't making him sick, I think. But it just happened that, you know, he seemed to be well and then he would get sick all the time. So we took him to different clinics. We took him to about 5 different clinics, different hospitals or clinics, and nobody could figure out what the problem was. And finally, we took him one day, we took him to, I say we, but really it was our staff there in Rwanda. They took him to a clinic or a hospital, and they said, well, we don't know what's wrong with him, but I think that it's his heart. We think that there's something wrong with his heart. And they didn't have the equipment to do any tests or whatever, but they said for some reason, just from what they observed, they said, we think it's something to do with his heart. So the staff then took him to King Faisal Hospital, which is like the main hospital in Rwanda. It's where the military, if the president, well, I don't know about the president, but if a military officer were to get injured, that's where they would take him, is this King Faisal Hospital. And so this is what we did. We took him to the hospital, and it just happened that the time that they took him to the hospital, they said, we think that there's something wrong with his heart, and there just happened to be a team of U.S. heart surgeons there at the hospital that week. Yes, so we praise God. They took a look at him, American cardiologist did the tests on him, and they said, yes, in fact, you know, he needs this heart valve transplant. It's not something that we can do here now. Our schedule is booked, but he definitely needs the surgery. And even if we had the time, we wouldn't do this surgery here. There's not the right equipment here in this hospital to do it. And so we finally had the answer to what is wrong with Benjamin. And so that's one of the reasons why I went this last time for this 3 weeks, is to work on getting Benjamin the help that he needs. He had to leave the country in order to get this heart surgery. Our options were, of course, the U.S., which I don't know if you know about how much a heart surgery costs here in the U.S. Hopefully you don't, because it's like $100,000 or more for a heart surgery to have the surgery and the follow-up and all those things. The other option was India. India was about $7,000 for the heart surgery, but I'm told that if you need heart surgery and you can't afford the U.S., India is the place to go. They have great facilities and those kinds of things. Are not as fancy as they are here, but the heart surgeons are great. So that's kind of where we were looking at. We were thinking, well, we'll take him to India, and we had to raise $7,000 for the surgery plus airfare and blah, blah, blah. But it seemed like that was the clear, easy way to go. Then the third option was the Sudan. Now the Sudan, they do this heart surgeries for free. It's a brand new hospital built in 2007, specifically for heart surgeries. This hospital was built, and it's all free because it was built and paid for by an Italian organization called Emergency. So that sounds all great, but we thought, well, because everything's free, there's a long waiting list, and it's just not likely. We know that Benjamin needs this surgery immediately, and we didn't want to waste the time in waiting for them to give us approval. So we were planning on sending him to India. It turns out, though, that a friend of ours that's emotionally connected to Benjamin, she wrote a letter to this hospital in Sudan explaining his situation, sent the report from the American cardiologist, and we got an answer back. They said, listen, we've seen his report. We can see that this is a critical issue. We've bumped him to the top of the list, and he's accepted. And so we praise God for that. So tomorrow morning, our time, he will already be on his way to the Sudan. We had to get a passport, which anytime you have to deal with the Rwandan government, it's not something enjoyable, and things don't happen quickly. But we were able to get his passport. The hospital itself got his visa. Everything has been taken care of. We got all the letters that we need to get a minor out of the country. Everything has been taken care of, so tomorrow morning he'll be on his way to the Sudan. So, yes, we praise God for that. Now, it is our prayer and our belief that God can heal Benjamin. He doesn't have to have this surgery in order to be well, because Jesus has already paid the price for his healing. And that is our prayer, that God would heal him. At the same time, somebody has to do another test to make sure that he has been healed, or to say, well, he hasn't been healed yet, we're going to do the surgery. So that's the plan. So I'm asking you to continue to pray for his healing, and for his, if he does receive the surgery, just for his continued health and recovery after this surgery. So that's all happening this coming week. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, you can pray for Benjamin, and there's an auntie. It's not really a relative, but it's someone who looks after him. And her name is Maureen. Maureen and Benjamin will be heading to the Sudan. Neither of them have ever been on an airplane before. Neither of them have ever, well, Maureen has been out of the country, but Benjamin has never been out of the country. Benjamin doesn't speak anything but a Kinyarwanda, and so he's not going to be able to understand anything that anybody says except for Maureen, his aunt, will be able to translate for him. So he's going to be in a completely foreign situation. So just pray for his peace and comfort and his health and healing. And I would appreciate that. So in this case, Benjamin, these are the kids that we are trying to reach. Some of these kids, as I said, have no living relative. Benjamin actually does have other brothers. He has a sister, and he has a living mother. But the mother has AIDS, and she's just not able to care for Benjamin or the siblings. So we actually have two of the brothers in our home. The younger of the siblings are still with the mother, and we check on them and make sure that they're at least getting food and going to school and that kind of thing. That's what we do. We have this child sponsorship program to help children who are at risk. If the child is on the streets during the day instead of in school, that child is at risk of being picked up and taken to prison. And if the child is taken to prison, they could then become an orphan simply because their family has to move or whatever else. We have another boy in our home. His name is Theonest. Theonest, he looks like he's about 7 years old, but I'm actually told that he is like 13, although maybe he's like Gary Coleman, I don't know, but he looks like he's a lot younger than he actually is. And Theonest, that's what happened to him. He was on the streets, not causing trouble, but he was just on the streets because he didn't go to school, and the police picked him up. He was there in prison for a few days, maybe a week, I don't know, I didn't ask him how long he'd been. But during that time, his family had to move out of the house that they lived in. And so when he got out of jail, out of this government facility, he went back to his home only to find out that his family was gone. So he came back to the only place that he knew of that there were people who cared about him, and that was a feeding program that we had started back in 2004 that's now run by African New Life Ministries, a partner ministry. And it just happened that Ngoga, our national director, some of you have met, Simon Peter is his other name. Simon and I were just leaving that property where the feeding program is, and Theonest was standing there. Theonest is, he's like a little rooster. So, you know, he always walks with his chest out and his shoulders back and walks around just like he owns the place, even though he's only like, you know, 3'2" or something. I don't know how tall he is really, but he's not very big. But he's just always in control, or at least he pretends to be. But this day when we saw Theonest, he was not his little rooster self. We come to realize after we talked to him a little bit, we realized his situation, that his family was gone, and he didn't know where they were. He had no idea where he was going to spend the night that night or the rest of his life. So we took him into our home, got him a bath and new clothes, took him to church on Sunday because it was Saturday night. Then on Monday, we had a friend or another guy that is in our program that knew his family, said, hey, can you find his family? So he did, found his mom, and got the whole situation figured out that they had moved. They didn't mean to move at the same time as the child was gone. But in this case, the mother was not in a stable situation, and so she asked us if we could keep the boy until she could get back on her feet. And again, that is another situation where 10 Talents International and the Home of Innocence has been able to help this family get back on their feet and also provide protection for this child. Every child that's in the home has a different story, but every child that's in the home has nowhere else that they could go except for onto the streets. Nowadays, they actually have an island where if you are caught or found on the street, rather than taking you to one of these facilities, they take you to this island. And that's just where they put you because they don't want people on the streets. It's sad, but that's the reality of it. Even mothers who have babies, if the mother is trying to sell products like pineapples or mangoes or whatever, avocados, and that mother is caught by the police, they will take the mother, put her in prison, or take her to this island, and this baby, this child that she has, is now left to fend for itself or left for a neighbor to take care of. I could not imagine being in those situations. But those are the people that we are called to help and to minister to. Obviously, we can't do that ourselves. You as a congregation and you as individuals have been helping us do that. The Bible even talks about people being sent, but how can we be sent unless someone sends us? My family and I are more than willing to go, but we can't go on our own. We have to be sent. And so one of the main things that I'm asking you today to help us with is to send us. Obviously, there's financial issues that, you know, there's money that needs to be raised. It's like twice as expensive for us to live in Rwanda as it is to live here. My family and I, because we are absolutely convinced that God has called us to do this, we have left our home or rented our home out, and we live with my wife's dad. That's not something that, you know, most people want to do. It's a little bit uncomfortable at times, but it's what we have made choices so that we can do what we feel God has called us to do. But what that does is it makes it very inexpensive for us to live here in the U.S., but when we go to Rwanda, things become more expensive, because in Rwanda we have to pay for our rent, we have to pay for fuel is twice as expensive there as it is here. Almost everything actually is more expensive in Rwanda than it is here, and which is probably counter... It's opposite of what you might think. You probably think of Rwanda or Africa in general as being cheap or almost free to live. It's actually the opposite. Obviously, yes, we could live in a mud hut with no electricity and no water and share a outside toilet or a hole in the ground, which is how many people live. We could do that, I suppose. But I don't know how long my marriage would last if I asked my wife to do that. Plus, I don't know how well we would be able to help others get out of the situations that they're in if we were in the same. And so it's about twice as expensive for us to live in Rwanda as it is here. But we've come to realize that this is a must. We have to be there more than we are here in order to help facilitate the mission and the vision of reaching these people. Now, obviously, we're not the only ones working in Rwanda, but I am here to tell you that we are the only organization that I know of that is reaching these same kids and same people in the same way. I look at part of the way that God had called me to go to Rwanda and minister to these people is he made it very personal. God made it very personal to me. He made me realize that every child that's on the street right now is his child. Every child that's on the street right now, I look at as if, what if that was my child? What if my child was on the street? What would I want somebody else to do for them? And that's the way God showed it to me, because he said, look, these are my children. What are you going to do for them? So, when I see a child that is on the street, which there are many, and I want to help that child, I'm not going to just give them a piece of bread and say, be on your way, be well, and be fed, whatever. Because that's not what I would want somebody else to do for my child. If my child was on the street, I would want them to get my child off of the street and love them like their own child. Get them into school and educate them. Treat them like a child, not like a servant. There are many cases in the country of Rwanda where the other people of the country will take in a child. Obviously, you know, I mean, if you saw here in the U.S., if you saw a child who was just wandering the streets, you would be compelled to do something about it. So these, and the same thing happens in Rwanda. These people will take children in to be, I mean, take them into their home. And they'll provide, you know, a meal or something. But what happens is, because that child isn't really their child, the child becomes more of a servant than a child. Our goal and our vision, because I believe that it's God's plan and His purpose, the way He wants things to happen, is that when a child gets placed into a home, one of these children that was on the street, when they get placed into a home, that child is now a child adopted, just like you and I have been adopted into the family of God. When God adopted us into His family, He didn't make us His servants. Although we serve Him, He made us His child. We are co-heirs with Christ. We have everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you and I. That's why when we pray, and Pastor Dav says that we should pray according to the way Jesus taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven, it's because that's what has been given to us. When the Bible says that we are co-heirs with Christ, what it means is that everything that has been given to Jesus, everything that belongs to Him, belongs to you and I. If you doubt that, you can wait till Pastor Dav comes back and talk to him. He's much more equipped to explain that to you. But what I know is that is the truth. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you and I, because we are co-heirs with Him. In the same way, the children that are on the streets, every child deserves a home. Every child deserves a family to love them. And every child that's on the streets in Rwanda is God's child. Now, I cannot help those children by myself. I simply can't. Several years ago, I remember seeing in my mind a vision that was like I came upon a bus accident. There was a bus that was traveling, and it was full of kids. And the bus had gone off the road and down an embankment and crashed. And the kids were and somehow I was coming along that same path, and somehow I realized that this accident had occurred. And now again, this didn't happen. I just remember seeing it as a vision. And as I come across, I see that this bus accident has occurred. But the bus is down this embankment a long ways. I went down the embankment myself, and I began to see that there were children there that were injured or in vulnerable situations. They were hurt. And I remember I grabbed one and I carried that child up to the top of the embankment. And when I got to the top of the embankment, there were people and cars. Everybody was passing by the same scene, but nobody noticed what was happening. And I realized that there was no way that I would be able to go back down the embankment and get a child and bring them up and save every one of those children. There was no way I could do it. I could save one, maybe two, but I could not save them all. But I saw again all these people passing by, not knowing what had happened down below. And it became clear to me that the only way to rescue those children was to let the people that were passing by know the same thing that I knew about these children that were in need. So today and every other day, that's what I do. I want to make it clear to you that there are children who need your help. There are children who need someone to go down that embankment, grab that child, and bring them up. That's what we do. In child sponsorship, that's exactly what you do. When you sponsor a child in Rwanda, you are helping us to rescue that child. That child gets to go to school. They're safe then from being picked up by the police because they're wearing their school uniform. And the police know this child is not on the streets. They're going to school. They're a member of society, whatever, and they're protected. The other thing is, again, as I said, for us to go, I'm This is a difficult situation because we have a long ways to go before we can actually go. We have a lot of money to raise before we can actually go. And I hate to break it down to, you know, the correlation between children and money, but that's pretty much the situation. In order for my family to be able to go and do what we feel God has called us to do, there is money that needs to be raised in order to send us, in order for us to go. And I'm not asking you as a church or anybody here, you can, you know, wipe your brow, breathe a sigh of relief. I'm not asking you to pay for what we need. But I am asking you, especially as our home church, I am asking you to please pray with us, because there is a mountain of provision that is in our way, or lack of provision, or whatever it is. There is a mountain that is in our way, an insurmountable amount of money that we need to raise before we can go. But with your help and praying for us, we can see that mountain be picked up and tossed into the sea. I have, I think that Jay might be sharing a little bit about some of those needs. That's, you know, again, I'm not asking a Heritage Church to fork out another $100,000, which we don't have, or for you personally, but I am asking you, please pray for us. And if you've ever thought about wanting to sponsor a child, do so. It really does make a difference for that child. It really is just like you going down the embankment and rescuing a child. It may seem like, well, it doesn't seem like that's the same case. It is. I'm telling you, the child is just as in need of you sponsoring him as that child that's in the bus down the embankment needs someone to pull them out. Now, there is that. There's what I'm asking you to do is certainly pray for us. Our plan was to go in September. This is what, June 13th? Today the 13th? June 13th. Our plan was to go September 15th. That was our plan, to be going to Rwanda. And if September 15th, the amount that we have to raise before we can go was, it seemed impossible, leaving September 15th. But while I was there, while I was in Rwanda this trip, I was told that the school that our children will be going to is actually starting a month earlier than we planned on even getting there. They have raised, or they've moved the date from the starting date. So now we have till August 15th in order to raise the same amount of money. And so again, I'm just asking, I am absolutely convinced that God has called us to do this. I'm absolutely convinced that God will provide. I'm asking you to be a part of seeing God move this mountain and provide for us. I'm also asking you to believe with us for that same thing. Because I am convinced that God has called us to do it and that he will provide. But I'm also committed to my family. Living in Africa has a lot of challenges. It's a complete, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's a foreign country. Yeah. You know why they call it a foreign country? Because it's foreign. It's not like it is here. Things don't happen the way they happen here. There are so many challenges involved in living in a foreign country that I have committed to our board, which are our pastors here. I've committed to my family that we will not go until our needs are met, because there are so many things that we have to deal with, that my family has to deal with every single day living in a foreign country, that I'm not going to ask them to also try and deal with the stress of where are we going to get the money for gas tomorrow, or where are we going to get the money to pay rent, or where are we going to get the money to eat. Again, we're going there to help, not hurt the people. And if we're going to help, we have to be supported. And so, again, that's just my commitment to my family and to our board, is that we're not going to go. Otherwise, I'll be calling the church, Heritage Church, saying, hey, you either send us money or we're going to starve to death this week, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to put it on Ed Vickers to have to make that decision. Let's see, who's going to eat, you or me? Which one, who's going to eat this week, right? So again, I'm just asking you to pray for us. And if you decide you want to give, many of you already are. If you decide that you want to give, great, we welcome that. Talk to Pastor Dav or talk to somebody that can help you get signed up to do that. If you want to sponsor a child, great. Let me know, and I will I'll help you with that. There's also my wife will be here. I hope here real soon and out in the foyer someplace. I'm thinking out by the entry door here. We will have a sign up. If you want to sign up and say, hey, I want to stay informed about 10 Talents International, what you guys are doing. We have a mailing list where we mail newsletters. We also have the my wife has two different blogs. She actually has three different blogs, but one of them is a food blog. It has nothing to do with what we do here. But she has two different blogs that one is just for our family and the other is a 10 Talents International blog. So if you're interested in following what we're doing and praying for us, those are great ways to do it. Just sign up on those, sign up on one of those lists, and she will make sure that you stay informed. Now, here's the thing. I have, I think, 5 minutes and maybe a little less. I don't know if how much time Jay needs, but here's the thing. God has called us to do this. I've tried to make that clear. We need people to send, made that clear. But I also know that you sitting here today, God has a plan for you. God has called you to do something as well. And I promise you, when God called Lisa and I to minister to these children in Rwanda, we had no way of doing what God had called us to do. We didn't have the money. We didn't have any connections. We had nothing. What seemed like we had nothing at all that God was, he was saying, I want you to do this. We had nothing to meet that need. But today, we have opened three homes with street kids. We have started a feeding program that feeds over 300 children. We have encouraged the government of Rwanda or given them a plan to reach those children so that even the government of Rwanda, their strategic plan, I guess I can't say that we gave them the strategic plan or that they got it from us, but their strategic plan matches now exactly the strategic plan that we handed into them for reaching those children. And I thank God for that. I'm not here to say, oh, you know, here we're awesome or great. I'm just saying that God has used us since calling, simply because we were obedient to him, he has used us to reach so many children and so many people. What I want to encourage you is God has called you the same as he has called us, not to the same thing, but in the same way. He has called you, he has a plan for you. And you may or may not know what that plan is, but I want you to know, if you will simply be obedient, simply say, yes, God, I don't know how to do it, but I hear that you are, I hear your voice, I understand that you are saying this is what I want you to do, and I'm willing to do it, and then just do whatever it is that you can, taking baby steps, whatever it is, moving that direction. God will do amazing things through you. It is his will. It is his plan. We can have faith in knowing that it is God's will that his kingdom be here on earth just as it is in heaven. In his kingdom, there are no children on the streets of Rwanda. In his kingdom, there are no kids on the streets. In his kingdom, there are whatever it is that you feel that God has called you to. There are no addicts in heaven. Not an addict, but an addict. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes my mouth is a little dry. There may be an addict, I don't know, in Rwanda. But there aren't any addicts in Rwanda. I haven't read about an addict, but anyway. So I digress. But the truth is that God has called you. He has a plan for you. If you will simply say okay, He will meet every need that you have.